You're listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor. Happy to have Alistair McLeod with us once again. Thank you, Alistair, for joining us.
That's my pleasure, Jay.
I would like to talk to you about your most, it was your October 29th piece on the markers that we might be looking towards fiat currency destruction. You've talked about it frequently, and the mainstream media just sort of scoffs at that idea. I think I read something this morning that somebody was saying, I think it was President Biden's National Economic Council Director, Brian Deese, something like 20-some years old, central planner, and main spokesperson for the White House on economics. And he told Jake Tapper at CNN that things are working out swimmingly well, exactly according to plan, he says. It seems as though, unsustainable economic policy, massive spending creates massive inflation, which creates an increased demand for government subsidies to afford basic products, which creates a growing dependency on the government, which creates a need for massive spending. Wash, rinse, repeat, and sort of the socialist policy, the Keynesian policy in a way, the neo-Keynesian policy. You wrote, you started out your October 29th piece, and I quote, you said, central banks now face a dilemma. Either they allow interest rates to rise to sufficient levels to tackle price inflation and lend support to their currencies, or they take one last gamble on yet one more stimulus in the hope that recession can be avoided. Politics and neo-Keynesian economics strongly favor monetary inflation and continued interest rate suppression, but following that course leads to the destruction of currencies, end of quote. So you went on and talked about the different waypoints along the way and how we can recognize what's going on, even if the media isn't going to recognize it. You're suggesting there are ways that we can keep track of where we're at in this process towards currency destruction. Waypoint number one, you said commentary in the mainstream media has yet to address that interest rates, rising inflation, rising interest rates will inevitably cause rates to rise. That is, inflation will inevitably cause rates to rise. And it has to be expected at any time, you suggested. As you show, and in that process, in your piece, you showed a chart of the 10-year U.S. Treasury, and you talked about this and have written about this frequently in the recent past, about how it is, before we started talking seriously about tapering, before the Fed, I don't know if they've ever talked seriously about it, but before they started talking about it, the 10-year Treasury started to rise already, breaking through key points. It's well above its 55-day and 200-day averages right now. So where do you think we're at now in this process? So let me just ask you to discuss waypoint one. What are the things we should be looking for there?
Yeah, well, waypoint one, I mean, it's rapidly approaching. And, the choice, basically, the Fed has got a choice. Either it supports financial assets and does so against a background of rising inflation. And I'll come on to that in a moment, because rising inflation leads to rising interest rates. It's as simple as that. And even if the Fed don't do anything about it, then they will find their hand forced on the interest rate front. Now, that would obviously undermine not just bond yields, but also undermine the equity market. Mm-hmm. And this is where the Fed has a problem, because it has been pursuing a policy of engendering optimism in the economy through inflating financial assets. So if suddenly, because of rising interest rates, you face a bear market in equities, then that is going to, as far as the Fed is concerned, undermine economic confidence.
Mm-hmm.
So what they should do under those circumstances is increase quantitative easing. In other words, inject more money into investing institutions such as pension funds and insurance companies in return for the Fed adding yet more treasury and agency stock on its balance sheet.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see that you've got a problem here because we have rising inflation, yet if the Fed starts to print money in order to keep markets buoyant, that's just going to make the inflation problem worse. So, you know, what are they going to do? It seems to me that, if they try and support markets, they trash the dollar. If they don't support markets, the foreigners, who own, I think, roughly $14 trillion worth of U.S. equities, they will start selling because the only reason foreigners hold equities is because they want to make money. And if you're no longer making money, there's no point in having them. So, you know, this is potentially a very unstable situation. So this is waypoint one, the decision that the Fed has to take. What is it going to do? Is it going to sacrifice the market or sacrifice the dollar?
Waypoint two, then, talk to us about that. Again, the media doesn't see anything wrong. They think they continue to believe what this young man in the Biden administration suggested. We should just keep spending more money to stimulate the economy. The Fed can keep printing money, they think. They don't seem to be overly concerned. I don't hear a lot of talk in the media, Alistair, about concerns about the foreigners no longer buying treasuries and reducing their holdings. There's not a lot of concern about that. There seems to be this notion that the Fed is omnipotent. They can do no wrong, and that they will bail us out once again. But talk to us about waypoint two. The Fed is likely, I think everybody pretty much agrees, and it seems this young man in the Treasury Department or in the White House is telling us what they're going to do. They're going to do more of the same, right? They're going to print more money. It's the neo-Keynesian way. Waypoint two, then? What are we looking at?
I'm just amazed, actually, at what you're saying about this economic advisor in the White House. I mean, it's scary, actually, Jay. I think it's very scary. But anyway, we'll move on. Waypoint two. The Fed, as I wrote here, the Fed will have a straightforward choice. Resist market pressures for higher interest rates to save financial markets. Stave off insolvency by over-leveraged borrowers and minimize government funding costs, or protect the dollar by raising the funds rate sufficiently to take all expectation of higher rates out of the market and ignore the financial carnage.
Mm-hmm.
So really, it's just down the road from waypoint one in essence, because once confidence starts going in financial markets and once particularly interest rates start rising,
mm-hmm.
bond yields start rising, particularly at the short end of the curve,
mm-hmm.
you will find that banks will not be interested in lending money to the corporate sector, the non-financial sector.
Mm-hmm.
They will be more interested in stripping out the difference between the rate which they pay depositors, which they won't raise. I mean, if interest rates go up 2-4%, they won't raise what they're paying the depositors, because there's no need to. I mean, depositors are depositors, and they got nowhere else to put the money. So the answer is quite simple. You don't raise the rates you pay your depositors. But what you can do is you can get higher interest rates, because really all a bank is a dealer in currency, currency and credit. So, you can get more on the asset side of your balance sheet by either buying debt, where the price has fallen to reflect a higher yield, so you can do that, or alternatively, you can then lend money to speculators who want to rip out the difference between the cost of borrowing at the moment and what they perceive to be the purchasing power of the dollar in the future.
Wow.
That's going to be an increasing problem because that's just going to just drive expectations for even higher rates, which I think is the last thing the Fed wants. So, Mr. Powell, which way is it going to be?
Yeah. Well,
we're not at that point yet. I mean, we're a lot closer to waypoint one. I mean, we can actually see waypoint one coming up, but it's the sort of waypoint two is an extension of waypoint one, as it were.
Right, and it's that point where the Fed is going to have to make a decision. It's closer to that point, right? It's going to be forced to make a decision. And people though do seem to think that the Fed can control interest rates. I mean, you never hear people talking about the Fed as being forced to raise rates. You don't hear it that, but I think that's your viewpoint generally, isn't it? In this rising inflationary scenario, you know, the Fed, the rhetoric is always the Fed's in charge. The Fed is going to raise rates. The Fed is going to taper or not taper. The Fed is in control of everything, and that's the mindset that they want us to have, I suppose.
Absolutely. I mean, I was a stockbroker in the 1970s in the UK, mm-hmm. and I saw the situation where the central bank lost control of the markets. I mean, don't think that it won't happen in America. Right. It will, because the problem is that as interest rates rise, as bond yields rise, if the Fed tries to help the Treasury fund at too low a level, you will find that the auctions just won't, there are always some people you can persuade into the auction. You just lean on a few people. But basically, the system will begin to fail. That is the problem. So,
And then when people start to recognize that there are no buyers for these treasuries and it has to be totally monetized, is that when you think some people will start getting the heebie-jeebies?
Well, yes. I mean, and even a little bit before then, because as I said earlier, there is so much, weak holders overhanging the market. I mean, why do you own equities? You own equities because you think they're going to be worth more tomorrow. The moment you begin to doubt that that's the question, that is the outcome, you then really haven't got a proper reason to hold equities. That's what it boils down to. And this is particularly true of foreigners, who I think will be very ready sellers at the first sign of trouble.
Mm-hmm. Waypoint number three, then, what does that period look like?
Well, here we're looking at consumer demand. Now, this one is an interesting one, mm-hmm. because there will be a point where consumers really begin to push forward their purchases. What I mean by that is that they've got cash. They've got cash because the government has given them cash and they've been locked down. So the amount of liquidity to hand has rocketed. I mean, there's a chart which the St. Louis Fred system does of household and non-profit making organizations, you know, their cash balances at in the banks. And mm-hmm. I mean, it's a scary chart. Everybody's absolutely up to their eyes in dollars. The liquidity is incredible. Now, either they turn that into savings, which, with all due respect to my American friends, I think is unlikely, or they seek to normalize the level of their liquidity relative to their spending habits. And what that means basically is that there's something like a couple of trillion dollars likely to hit the streets in the coming months, which will be accelerated as soon as people begin to see that not only have prices gone up, but they're going to continue to go up. That at some stage will turn into a situation whereby people begin to think, now hold on a minute, what is actually happening here? All prices are going up, my dollar's buying less. Is it because my dollar's going down or the price is going up? Mm-hmm. I need to think about this.
Yeah.
Now, the moment the majority of the population begin to understand that it is the dollar going down rather than prices going up, then, as von Mises said of inflations in his experience of inflations in the 1920s, Europe said, the moment the public realize that, there is no hope for the currency.
Right. And is that then, go ahead.
Yeah, this is important because what is feeding it? If you look at M1 money supply, I was calculating since February 2020 to September 21, it has gone up 400%.
Wow.
This is the narrow measure of money. That is an annualized inflation rate, because it's just short of 2 years, of 230%. I mean, we have never seen anything like this before. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, we have got, you know, sort of a couple of trillion excess money out of that, which is in consumer hands. So, you know, the idea that inflation is transient and don't worry about chaps, you know, it'll all sort itself out in the fullness of time. Forget it. That's not going to happen. Yeah. And I think, the realization that that's not going to happen and actually what's happening is the dollar's going down rather than prices going up, that will be the beginning of the end for the currency.
But, of course, that's what we've been seeing. That's what I think that's taking place now. That's starting to happen right now. We're seeing almost everything rise. I mean, it's bond prices, stock prices, commodity prices. You know, not every day everything going up, but generally speaking, everything is rising. Denominated in an increasingly worthless dollar, right? That's already happening, but it's just that the masses don't recognize it yet. Do you agree?
Yeah. Well, we're particularly talking about the prices of goods, you know, food, the sorts of stuff, the essentials, you know, energy, gasoline, all this sort of stuff. The things that you actually buy in the normal course of your life, they are going up and they're not going to stop going up because of this massive money printing. And of course, the amazing thing is that the authorities seem to pay absolutely no attention to any link between the quantity of money, changes in the quantity of money, and changes in its purchasing power. I mean, it's not the only factor, but my goodness, when you get an explosion of M1 currency like that, then, you know, surely someone is going to understand that it's going to be a price effect and a major price effect down the line. And that's what we're seeing now, Jay.
You're starting to see it. 6.2, I think it was the latest CPI print in the U.S. And these are the essential things that we're talking about that people have to stay alive. Alistair, I'm horror-stricken here. I've only 4 minutes left, and I have so much more to ask you. Waypoint 4, then, would be when things unravel very quickly, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's really what, you know, that really follows on from people really understanding that it is the currency going down and they must dispose of it as rapidly as possible. But that equates to the situation. I mean, we heard the tales in the Weimar Republic of, you know, the man who goes and collects his pay from the bank, puts a check in, gets a wheelbarrow load of paper marks, goes along to the shop, goes into the shop to spend the money, goes out to get the money. The money is dumped on the pavement and the wheelbarrow is stolen. You know, it's that sort of endgame. It's the Venezuelan situation, if you like.
Well, obviously that's situation. Extremely unstable and society can't function like that. So there has to be a change. Yeah. There would have to be a new currency, which leads me to my next question. My wife is always telling me, I can't see anything other than the U.S. dollar as the world's reserve currency. It can't happen. There's no other currencies out there. But if we come to a situation like that, something has to give, right? There has to be a new system. And historically, it's gone back to, if the markets are allowed to have any say in the matter, it goes back to the monetary metals, gold and silver.
Yes. Absolutely. And I think in practice, what will happen is that at some stage in this falling purchasing power of the dollar, the administration, like the U.S. Treasury and, you know, everybody involved with the money side of things, will understand that the game is up. And basically what they've got to do is stabilize the currency, mobilize the gold reserves. And I am actually writing an article which will be released on Thursday, which shows how it can be done. And it's actually quite an optimistic outcome if what I think should happen actually does happen. So it's not all gloom and doom, but it does mean that this can only happen after people's savings have been trashed, after the middle classes have been more or less impoverished. I mean, it will be a very unpleasant situation where people have money which buys virtually nothing. It will get to that sort of level, but they will stop it and they will have to reintroduce sound money. Forget things like cryptocurrencies, central bank digital currencies. I mean, no central bank digital currency has been discussed in the view that, you know, we're not going to issue any more currency. This is going to stabilize it. No, they do. They want to do it because they want to have an extra currency to issue. I mean, you know, this is It's still inflation. I mean, the answer is, as you rightly say, metallic money, which is basically what is selected by individuals to act as their medium of exchange, and it should go back to them. And it always does. When government fiat fails, it always goes back to those two.
All right, so that's what you want to own. I wanted to ask you about Basel III and why you think that we may be getting very close to the tomfoolery that's going on from the major central banks, but we're out of time. Basel III, though, comes into play January 3rd, or the first business day of the new year, right? And do you think we're starting to see some signs of that now?
Yeah, it's already in play in America and Europe. Unfortunately for the bullion banks, suddenly there's huge demand for gold futures. And I mean, we've seen 100,000 contracts added in the last, well, really since the beginning of this month. That is making their life extremely difficult. And I would think that they're probably now short of a gross value of something like $60 billion in the swaps. I mean, that is huge. It really is huge, and it's going the wrong way for them. But
all right, you know, and then so people are demanding delivery then more than in the past.
Well, yes, they have. I mean,
the banks have to unwind.
Yeah, well, you can see the deliveries going through COMEX. I mean, we never used to see that. That's the first thing.
All right, we'll have to leave it go at that, Alistair. Unfortunately, we're out of time. Basel III for another day, hopefully. And thank you so much for being with us. Always very great to have you with us. That's it for this week, folks. Next week, Quentin Henning, as I said, will be with us to talk about Novo Resources and El Oro, Hannon Metals, Lion One Metals, SK Mining, Firefox Gold, Labrador Gold. He'll be with us. And also Michael Oliver will be with us once again. Michael called 1825 as the key point to set us off to the next run-up in gold, and looks like he may be right. But that's all for this week. Until next week, goodbye, and God's blessings to you.
Thank you again for listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with Jay Taylor. Please join us again next Tuesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. Labrador Gold is an exploration company focused on its flagship Kingsway project, located in central Newfoundland Gold District. Labrador Gold's first phase drilling program has successfully identified high-grade gold mineralization, including a 3.6-meter intercept, grading 20.6 grams per ton gold, and 1.85 meters, grading 50.38 gram per ton gold. The company has approximately $35 million in the treasury and is led by a world-class team of CEO Roger Moss and technical advisors Sean Ryan and Quentin Henning.